Just to add to the senator's great words, you know, in addition to the ongoing plot, you know, one of which there's been an active indictment, of course, of the plot against John Bolton. But to have a former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, a former National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien, a former Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, and a number of other officials with full 24/7 security details and profiles because of these ongoing threats is just egregious, number one. Number two, that they're holding the Iranian regime right now as we speak, are holding American citizens hostage, chained to the floor of Evin prison, including one poor gentleman from the Namazi family that was left behind from the last JCPOA, the last Iran deal, when Zarif, Foreign Minister Zarif, promised John Kerry that he would be released and assured him that he would be released, and John Kerry signed anyway. And, oh, by the way, they just wounded, through their proxies, four American soldiers in Syria. So, you know, I personally do not believe we should engage any regime in any type of negotiation that has that type of behavior ongoing. I recently asked the lead State Department negotiator, Rob O'Malley, and Brett McGurk, what would Iran have to do? How bad will their behavior have to become? What do they think they can get away with, knowing that no matter what, we'll still sit at the table and make concession after concession? And look, we've heard the argument, and I know the senator and I have heard the argument, that the maximum pressure campaign didn't work and won't work. I think that is categorically false. It is a fact that Iranian oil went from 4 million barrels a day to under 400,000. It's a fact that their economy was tanking, that their currency was in shambles, and that the regime was absolutely desperate and would have come back to the table along the line of the principles that we laid out for a much more comprehensive and broader agreement. But they knew also that they could wait us out politically and hope that the same people that negotiated the 2015 deal would negotiate this deal and, again, appease and make concessions. And the Iranian, in classic fashion, continue to move the goalposts because they think they can get more. I just want to state, and I state this to my constituents regularly, why does this matter to their everyday lives? Two reasons. One, if the Iranians have a breakout capability, it is clear they are marching towards a nuclear weapon. The entire Middle East will explode in a nuclear arms race, number one. And number two, Iran is learning an important lesson right now from what Russia can get away with in terms of its conventional capability, in terms of the atrocities that are going on in Ukraine, an attack on its neighbor under a nuclear umbrella. And, you know, as they apply that lesson to what they could do to their neighbors or what they could do to Israel, I think that that threatens the security of the entire world. And then finally, I just want to point to the fact that these concerns are bipartisan. I led a bipartisan letter of 140 House members, including 70 Democrats, that said any future deal must be much broader to include terrorism, hostage taking, missile capabilities, and other nefarious behavior, and must be much stronger in terms of the sanctions, in terms of the verification regime. So, I am thrilled with the senator's leadership on this. I'm proud to lead its companion in the House, and we have to stop this deal before it makes the situation far worse. And I cannot imagine Congress under INARA, under the legislation passed in the wake of the 2015 deal, agreeing to anything with a regime that is trying to assassinate Americans, holding Americans hostage, wounding American soldiers, and attacking journalists and civil rights leaders. Thank you so much, Senator, and I'll yield.